Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
How many of you are ready for the word today? Everyone say, own it. Everyone say, own it. How many of you were here last week? Give me a wave if you were here last week. All right, so you know what we're talking about last week. We're talking about owning it, praise God. How many of you know, remember what I said last week? You will never have the life you want if you don't own the life you have. That's how it works, eh? If you want that marriage, if you want that family, if you want that out there, you got to own where you're at. Everyone say, own it. You got to own it. That's where we begin today. How many of you know we're going into part two? Praise God. All right, grab hold of the hand of the person beside you and say, hang on now. Some of you are like, yeah. I've been waiting for this moment. Everyone say, own it. Own it. Own it. Well, what an amazing start to the year we've had. As a church, we've had a very, very strong start with asks of 2018 now being answered. We're now starting to see the suddenlies that we're believing for in 2019 actually become a reality. How many of you know that's the point? How many of you are here this morning? Give me a wave if you are here. All right, you got to give me some. Got to give me some feedback. Otherwise, I got an inner ear thing, which means I can't hear you. All right, so that means you have to shout louder than. Because otherwise, if you just look at me, I'm like, are you hearing? But so you got to be vocal, because I got to be vocal. So if I sound like I'm shouting, it's because I can't hear what I'm saying. Praise God. Amen. You too. You got the same deal going on. We could be deaf and deafer. All right. But anyway, so how many of you are here?
Yeah.
All right. So we're here. It's good. So we're believing for more suddenlies happen this year. As much as I'm excited about everything that is occurring, I got to tell you, I am even more excited and believing for the individuals, the couples, the families, the businesses, the ministries that make up Enjoy Church. Church, can I encourage you today, ask and keep asking. Amen? Isn't that what Jesus said? Ask and keep asking. Knock and keep knocking. Seek and keep seeking. Luke chapter 11, verse 10 says, "For everyone who asks receives." Now, does the Bible say everyone or most people? 50-50, phone a friend? No. Everyone. I like the scripture because the scripture is always true. For everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. So if the door is going to be opened to those who knock, what should we be doing? What should we be doing? Knocking, that's right. I don't know whether you're answering or not. Praise God. I can see some mouths moving, but whatever. So we've got to be knocking. So while your future is totally in the hands of God, how many of you believe that your future is in the hands of God? All right. So your future is totally in the hands of God. But can I say this to you? At the same time, your future is actually in your hands as well. Because how many of you know that God responds to faith? Faith. And faith can be seen in our asking and our seeking and our knocking. But just as much faith can be seen in our lives by the degree that we are prepared to own it. Everyone say, own it.
Own it.
How many of you know, got it worked out now? God wants you to own it. Faith can be seen in and through one's commitment to owning one's heart. Now, you know where we're going right now, don't we? We're going to go after the heart. Now, you're like, Shane, for the last 20 years now, you've brought messages to us about the heart. Friends, I can promise you, if you're an enjoyer and you're planted that Enjoy Church, for the next 20 years, I will continue to bring you messages about your heart. I won't stop, because so much of life is revolving around your heart. Now, my heart is my responsibility. Your heart is your responsibility. My heart is my responsibility, and I'm going to own it. I've got to own my heart. I need to own it, because owning my heart is an expression of my faith that only I can exercise. All right, so when I own my heart, I'm exercising my faith. When you own your heart, you're exercising your faith. How many of you know, before today is out, you're going to be challenged to go after areas in your heart and actually own them, that you might begin to exercise, that you might actually enter into the life that you are believing to enter into. Now, the consequences of owning or not owning my heart will not only be seen in my life, my marriage, my family, etc., but it will also be seen in the generations to come. I know that as I walk before the Lord every day, as I walk as a man of God, not as a pastor. Forget the pastor business. I'm not a pastor first. I'm just a boy first. I was born a son of someone, son of El. Praise God. There goes son of El. All right. So I was born son of El, but how many of you know now I'm a son of God? Now, and I am. So my name is Shane. I am a servant of God and I do what I do. But what I do isn't who I am. What, you got to get rid of that thinking, especially the men. Like, well, who are you? Well, I'm a mechanic, or I'm an accountant, or I'm a whatever. That's not who you are. That's what you do. All right. So I'm Pastor Shane. That's what I do. It's not who I am. But first, I'm Shane. Shaney boy. All right. That's me. I won't tell you what Mum called me, but Georgia will go with Shaney boy. All right. So I need to realize that if I'm going to see my life at work the way God wants to see it at work, I need to own my heart. Proverbs 4:23, reading from the NIV translation, says, above all else. Everyone say, above all else. Above all else. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. You need to guard your heart. I can't guard your heart. Your wife is not going to guard your heart. You need to guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. It's not a wellspring of life. No, your heart is the wellspring of life. Therefore, above all else, you need to guard your heart. Don't look to me to guard your heart. I can't guard your heart. I'm not with you. I don't go shopping with you. I don't go to university with you. I don't go to work with you. Your wife's not there. Your husband's not there. It's your heart. It's your responsibility. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Proverbs 4:23 in the New LT, which is the New Living Translation, says, above all else, everyone say above all else, guard your heart. Well, it's like, well, we just read something like that. Okay, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. Your heart affects everything you do. Everything. It's like, so I'm doing. How many of you are doing some doing in life? How many of you are doing some doing from one Sunday to the next Sunday? You're doing exercise, you're doing marriage, you're doing family, you're doing finance, you're doing ministry, you're doing your dreams, you're doing. Guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. Proverbs 4:23, a New American Standard Bible, says, watch over your heart. What should we do? Watch over our heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. All right. So how many of you know you've got a spring within you? You've got a life spring. You've got to watch over your heart. You've got to guard your heart. You've got to keep right things in the spring, the wrong things out of the spring. Some of you have heard the story when I was out walking around the mountains playing with the rabbits one time, and I got to a little creek and I was just so thirsty. So I went down and I started bringing in the water into my mouth, and I'm drinking. And then I look up and realize that water was flowing through a dead cow. How many of you know that's not a good moment? I couldn't get it out of my mouth quick enough. I'm like, bit saltier than usual. I couldn't work out what the taste was, but whatever. I won't say where it was flowing from. It was terrible. I can still taste it, you know what I'm saying? It's like that would be 35 years ago and it's still in my mouth. I can't get it out. The memory's so bad. Proverbs 4:23, New King James Version. It says here, keep. Everyone say keep. Now, this is not like keep. It's not like I'm going to keep this. No. This is like a gardener keeps his garden. All right? So we need to keep. We need to tend, as it were, like a gardener would tend his garden. We need to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. How many of you know everything is springing out of your heart here? Out of your heart are going to spring the issues of life. The real things pertaining to your life are going to come from your heart. So what are we saying? What is God saying? That we need to guard, watch over, keep and tend our hearts with all diligence in the knowledge that from our hearts, that there is a wellspring, and everything pertaining to life is going to come out of our hearts. Friends, everything that is near and dear to you, everything pertaining to your life and to your future is coming from your heart. So if that is the case, what should we do? Doesn't it make sense then, if everything in our life is going to be impacted by our heart, then I'm going to work on my heart. Makes sense, doesn't it? That's like, well, that makes sense. Praise God. How many of you know I'm going to own my heart? I'm not just going to whatever. No, whatever. No, whatever. No, I'm going to own it. I'm going to take responsibility for it. I'm going to man up. You're going to woman up. I'm going to man up personally. It's my choice, all right? I'm going to man up. I'm going to own my heart. I'm going to be the man of God. God is calling me to be. I want to encourage you, be the man of God. Be the woman of God. Be the person in Christ God is calling you to be, and own your heart. Everyone say, own it. Own it. All right, we're going to own it. Think about it. If you were to go to the doctors for a checkup, how many of you have been recently? Few of you. Man, since turning 50, I've been to the doctors more than the first 50 years. I'm like, oh, man. But anyway, whatever. Whatever. If you go to the doctors for a checkup, what are they going to do? There's a couple of things I will guarantee they will do. They are going to check your blood pressure and they are going to check your heartbeat. Is that right? They're going to listen, see if they can hear anything going on in there. You know what I'm saying? They're going to do two things. They're going to check your blood. Why is that? The reason they do that, because as it is in the spiritual, so it is in the natural. I would say as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. How many of you know we see things in the natural, we don't realize they're a picture of the spiritual and vice versa. So as it is in the spiritual, we want to have clean, healthy hearts. And so in the natural, if you go for a checkup, if you were to go for a checkup, just say you're going through life and you're out of breath, you're always tired, you're lethargic, you're getting cranky. Anyone here ever get cranky? Because you're not getting enough sleep? And it's always everybody else's fault, even though you don't go to bed until 1 a.m. Moving right along, whatever. And you find yourself in this place where it's like, all right, I'm going for a checkup. You go for your checkup, and they check your blood pressure, and then they check your heartbeat. They check a few other things, which I won't go into. And then we make some decisions. I'm going to change my diet. I'm going to change my exercise. I may need some dietary assistance, Pastor Mick, praise God. I may need a personal trainer. And I'm going to go to work on this because my heart is my responsibility. All right, not your wife's, not your husband's. Your heart is your responsibility. So what do I need? I just need someone just for a moment who has got a big heart, all right? So if we were to have a quick look around, praise God, that'd be you, Pastor Mick Reeves. All right, So why don't you come up here so we can take your blood pressure? All right. Now, many of you know that before I was a carpenter, I was a doctor. All right, put your arm out. All right, so...
Am I going to lick?
All right. Are you ready, Mick? Is everybody ready? Just extend your hand. Let's pray for Mick right now. I just don't want to blow his arm off. All right, here we go. All right. It is working. I know what I'm doing. Oh, you're in trouble. All right, so that's not a good sign. So just let me go here for a minute. All right, we're going to pray for him in just a minute because... That says you're dead. But anyway, it's he needs help. Praise God. Let's give it up for Pastor Mick Reeves. So if anybody else needs help, you can call the office during the week and Pastor Louise will help you out. How many of you know This is why we're part of a spiritual family. This is why we're part of a church, that we might come alongside of each other when we hear nonsense like that. How many of you have ever... how many of you are part of a friendship group, part of an area of ministry, part of a friendship? Like, you got friends at church. How many of you ever hear nonsense? How many of you ever hear nonsense coming out of your own mouth? I promise you, we've all heard nonsense coming out of your mouth. And seeing I do most of the talking, you've heard more nonsense coming out of my mouth than probably anybody else's. But how many of you know this is why we're in ministry and this is why we're in fellowship together, that we might come alongside of each other and encourage each other, challenge each other to own our hearts, that we might live life to the full. But how many of you know if you're going to live life to the full, you've got to own it. Everyone say own it. All right, let's go here. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. Good stored up where? In his heart. So the good man is going to bring good things out of the good that is stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Or out of the overflow of her heart, her mouth speaks. And there's one thing I know, you can't hide it forever. It's in there. If it's in there, sooner or later it's going to come out. So a great revealer of the condition of my heart spiritually is my speech, is my language, and my conversations. All right. Now, some of you can feel heat now. It's good. How many of you know this is just being really real? I'm trying to help you. Everyone say, you're helping us. All right. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce these evil results. All right. If you just follow your evil nature, you're going to see some results coming your way. These are some of them. Sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, participation in demonic activities. How many of you know this is getting, we're going at it today? Welcome to church, everybody. Praise God. How many of you know this is the Bible? Everyone say, Bible. This is your Bible. This is what it says here. Participation in demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, divisions, the feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your little group. Everybody's wrong. What would they know? We're right. There's three of us. We agree. We're right. Envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other kinds of sin. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Will not inherit the kingdom of God. Welcome to church, everybody. We're just trying to put it out there in a way that we can understand. That's why God writes it so clear, so we can actually make choices. All right, participation in demonic activities. Like Shane, we're not that group of people. That's the north location, all right? That's not us. As in, we sent Martin Orovic to Hobart, you know what I'm saying? It's like this is not us. This is not us. We're not into seances and we're not into Ouija boards. What are you talking about? Demonic activities. Okay, so you're not into seances. Praise God, you're not into Ouija boards. But how many of you have gossiped in the last week? I can feel it. You can cut it with a knife. It's like, somebody told him. I didn't say about me, but that would be that half of the room. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, I didn't say about me. But how many of you have gossiped in the last week? How many of you were offended by someone and chose to slander them to a friend rather than actually have a conversation with the person who offended you? How many of you didn't like your leader's decision, your spouse's action, or what one of your parents did? So when you sat with your own little group, you just threw them under the bus. This is demonic activity. Now, I know we don't like to call it that, but we want to say, oh, no, I just had a slip of the tongue. It wasn't a slip of the tongue. It's demonic activity. We need to call it for what it is. We're talking about having our prayers answered. We're talking about suddenly moments in God. We are reaching for the moon. We're praying for everything. Friends, if we want it all, you can have it all. But you got to own where you're at. You got to own your heart. Galatians 5:21, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, no buts. No buts. If you want a life and life to the full, understand it's going to flow from your heart. What's happening in your life and in your relationships, your marriage, your family, your business and ministry is largely flowing out of your heart. It's coming from your heart. So maybe if you're not happy, Jan, maybe, just maybe it's time to own it. Maybe it's time to man up, woman up and own it. Everyone say own it. Colossians chapter 3, reading from verse 8. But now you must rid yourselves. Everyone say, rid ourselves. Actually, you know what I love about the Bible? It's what I love about the Bible. If the Bible says to do something, we can actually do it. We can actually do it. So sometimes we deal with issues of the heart and they're challenging. But it's like, I can't do that. You can do that. You just got to grow up and realize, I can do this. If the Bible says to do it, how many of you know God is God? God is smart. God's not going to ask you to do something it's impossible for you to do. You can do it. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but by the power of God, by the word of God, by the spirit of God, by the presence of God, you can do anything and everything he's asking you to do. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger. Where is so much anger coming out of? Our mouth. How many of you know? You know when someone's angry, not just because they're throwing stuff, but usually it's coming out of their mouth. Rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. Filthy language. It's like, I don't know why God's not answering my prayers. I can tell you why he's not answering your prayers. Moving right along. So we've got to rid filthy language from our lips. Do not lie to each other. Don't lie. Let's go after this. Don't lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So we're going to own it. We're going to own our hearts. We're going to make a decision. I'm going to take off my old self. Everything that pertains to everything we've been reading from the word this morning, we're going to take it off. And then we're going to put on the new self, which is being made in the image of Christ. And everybody says, it's really quiet in here. It's really interesting. Hey, it's like, man, is this real? This is the Bible. All I've done to you, some of you are looking at me like I'm throwing darts at you, you know what I mean? But I'm not doing it. All I'm doing is reading the Bible. It's just Bible. These are things we all suffer with until we make a decision. I'm going to own my heart. If you go to the doctor and the doctor says, this is what you need to do, you've got to get a new diet, you've got to start exercising, you've got to take care of your heart. That's all I'm doing to you today. I'm just saying, okay, church, get ready. We're about to go where we've never been before. You're about to experience suddenlies in God. You're about to enter into opportunities that you haven't even believed. But if you want it and you can have it, but you've got to take responsibility for your own heart. We've got to take off the old. We've got to put on the new. Philippians chapter 4, as the worship team comes, Philippians 4, reading from verse 8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice and the God of peace will be with you. All right. So what do I need to do? I simply need to own it. I've got to own my heart. Now, understand this. I know you're not perfect, and believe it or not, neither am I. Moving right along. Some of you find that hard to believe. I still got my challenges. Still got my struggles. Still got my moments in God. Still got my flesh. I still live in the flesh. But you know what? I'm going to own my heart. I want to encourage you, own your heart. Yeah, there's going to be times when you're going to want to do... There's a big difference between wanting to do the wrong thing and doing the wrong thing. This one thing I promise you. If you want to do the wrong thing and you just let yourself do it, you will always want to do the wrong thing. But every time you're wanting to do the wrong thing, if you just hold it there, stop there, stop it. Put a centurion over your mouth. Put a guard over your mouth. Just hold it back. Sometimes it's like, sometimes I speak to couples that are going through marriage stuff and I know why they're going through marriage stuff. All I need to do is listen to them in the foyer. No respect, no honor. Bang, 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 bang with their words. And it's like, man, I can tell you why you've got troubles. You guys need to get some a little needle and thread and sew up your mouths. Life would do better. You would go so... But how many of you know we shouldn't need to sew up our mouths? We just put a centurion over our mouth. Put a guard over our mouth. How many of you know that scripture, what I'm talking about? As in, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, to put a centurion over my mouth that I don't speak the first thing that comes to my mind. How many of you know? If you've been here for 20 years, you know I'm guilty. Sometimes I'm like, blah, and I need to apologize. Sorry. Here's the thing. If you do that, say sorry. If you get it wrong, say sorry. Just own it. Yeah, I overstepped the mark. I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to step back in here. I'm going to own it, own it, own it. I'm going to own my heart. I'm going to take off the old self with its sinful nature. I'm not going to be thinking about these things. I promise you this. No one ever just falls. No one falls into sin. No one falls into adultery. You know where it begins? It begins with a thought. Begins with a thought. The thought then goes to the heart. We meditate in the heart. Then all of a sudden we're starting to speak it out. Then we're speaking it out. And before we know, we're doing it. Friends, I want to encourage you today. Make a decision. I'm not going to let the birds that fly over my head come and nest in my hair. I'm going to shoo them off. As in, you may not be able to stop them from flying over, but you can stop them from nesting. You don't need to be thinking about that stuff. You don't need to be pondering on that stuff. You can make a choice. My mind is for the glory of God. My heart is for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm going to meditate upon the Word. I'm going to meditate upon that which is true, that which is noble, that which is right and pure and lovely and admirable, everything that is excellent and praiseworthy. I'm going to think about these things so that when I open up my mouth, it's all coming out. And it lines up with God. It's attractive to God. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to speak a better future into my reality. You know, I've got this thing going on. I said to our team yesterday, I'm praying in Jesus' name. I know what the doctor said. Praise God for doctors. You know, my doctor's part of our church here. I thank God for doctors. But at the end of the day, I'm going to choose to believe the Word of God. When the Bible says, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'm walking around. I'm praying for my ear. I'm like, come on, Lord. I believe you. I believe you. So I'm going to choose to believe what I believe rather than what I'm hearing or what I'm seeing. Friends, I want to encourage you today. Make a decision. I'm going to own my heart. This heart is for the glory of God. I'm going to own my heart. I'm going to put those childish things away. I'm going to mature in Christ. I'm going to own it. I'm going to be thinking upon things above, not on things below. If you believe it, give God some praise right about now. Come on, Lord. We want to see...